But if most of what we experience is a product of, or what we think is a product of our conditioning, how much of what we think is actually being present?
Busted. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And then how much can we trust the feelings that the body's reporting? Where do those feelings get educated?
Yeah, but when you get upset, a definition of an upset is based on some past experience. It's never what's happening in the moment.
Never.
If it's happening in the moment, you would not respond that way.
That's right.
If you were present.
If you were present to only it.
Yeah.
But you're putting all your color from the past on it.
We did it.
Right.
Yeah. So, Colleen, the next lessons will continue to unwind this whole concept of the difficulty your mind is making
There's
for you.
There's more chairs.
Seeming
just there
real.
If you...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's,
you want to grab one.
It's what got you into this room.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
Is that you were unhappy somehow, some way with this world, and the book is going to say, we got the solution, and we found the problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's your addiction to the past. This is your addiction to the ego. You could actually shake it off and be happy right now, even as you go through whatever trouble you have. And keep bringing those great questions, because that's an honest question.
You want a tree?
Thank you.
She
thought lesson five was a bad lesson.
Oh, you're just starting.
What's going to have you do is it's going to have you go. There's other lessons where I'll have you look at your upset, and I'll have you try to be really honest with yourself and answer what would you would like to have happen that would make you happy in the situation. How would you have it go? And I'll check with you throughout the day. And I'll have you answer the same question. And then you look back over your day and you'll see that your idea of what should happen slowly changed. By 3 or 4 o'clock, it was different than it was at 9 o'clock. And this is a chaotic way to live. It'll show you how chaotic your opinion, your upset really is. It's the only way out. Otherwise, you're right. And whatever person you think should be guilty, if it's yourself or somebody else, you're going to have to go attack them and punish and even it out somehow out there in the world. But out in the world, it's just shifting sands. You'll just make it worse. If it gets better for a while, then it gets worse because they want revenge. And then you have to go back and say you're sorry, you didn't mean it. All that you did, oh my God. The only way out is in. And that's what this book does. This book brings you back in to where you're actually living your life. It's not out there. Certainly not your happiness. Yeah. But I know, believe me, you're. I love it because you took issue with it, you know. You're not just reading them and just going right by. But you have a chance of having this work for you if you really challenge it. It can take it. Challenge me. You know, that's what I'm here for, too. And so this was really good. It's that you got a chance. People look the other way and get into lessons, you know, into the 20s and 30s, and it can be very depressing as you have to take responsibility for yourself. And some people throw the book out at that point. Just before the miracle shows up. Just before the miracle shows up. Oh, how are you doing, by the way, speaking of this very issue?
Well, I'm really excited I'm on 47.
You had a girl.
I'm so excited for 48.
You had a girl. Don't be reading ahead.
I totally think that.
Don't be looking ahead.
But yeah, it gets pretty dark, isn't it? The lessons, it's a cleansing, you know?
Yeah.
And it challenges you, and you'll think, this is not getting better. It's true, but it's not getting better. And then it'll shine some light on your situation, and then it'll challenge you at a new level, and then it'll get worse again, and then it'll shine some more light, and you go, oh, thank God, and it gets better. But, you know, the lessons, they are genius, prying you off of your ego addiction.
You have to go through all the levels again in a different way.
Yeah, as a slightly more awake now, and not so resisting now.
Right.
Yeah, so welcome to Course in Miracles. And tonight, anybody who wants one, there is a free Course in Miracles study tool bookmark. It's on a very nice paper, and I should have printed it on nicer paper. But that's also on the website for free, and that's about 10 places in the book where you can go when the beep hits the fan, and you need some quick medication now. How can I get out of hate, anger, you know, whatever emotion you're unhappy with? There are 10 places in the book, just for example, on how you can get yourself out of the darkness. Quick. And so that's that. And yeah, that's good. All right, let's see where we are. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. In our spiritual pursuit, our desire to be free, there's kind of a gravity going the other way. It's not free. That's why we're here. I say gravity because it seems to just keep coming. There are aspects of the ego that are fully believed, and we don't even question because it seems so obvious that the ego works and the ways of the world work, and we have to play along in order to survive in the world. We're deeply trained this way. It's in our upbringing. It's in our music. It's in our stories. It's in our movies. It's in our friends. It's in our own relationships. It's in our neighbors. It's the pattern of the ego. The way the world works is something that needs to be seen. Like any addiction, you've got to first see what you're doing to know what you're going to stop doing. So that's what we're doing with A Course in Miracles. And the section that we're in is called The Obstacles to Peace. What is it that you're doing that keeps peace from naturally being among you, around you, as you? What is it you're doing? What's your part in not having a peaceful day? What's your part in that upset that you talked about? You know, does it have anything to do with it, or are you a complete victim? According to this book, it says you are never a victim. It's impossible for what you really are. The ego's always a victim. It's always somebody else's fault. They would change, I would be happier. So tonight, let's take a few minutes and let's look at this one word and see how it feels, see where it fits in your spiritual practice, or see how it fits, rather, in your ego practice. And it is sacrifice. I thought this was a spiritual meeting. Can't we talk about love? Oh, yeah. Believe me, the ego thinks that to sacrifice is a form of love. That's how I know you love me, because you sacrifice so much for me. Whoa. Let's take a few minutes. Let's think about if this exists in your life. Sacrifice. Is it good to sacrifice? There's something worthy. Does it make you somehow a hero if you sacrifice something in the world? What does it mean to sacrifice when you use that word? How does it feel to sacrifice something? Now, if you're going to sacrifice, what do you get? Are you getting something for sacrificing? How's it related to what you sacrificed? What do you get? What do you hope to gain when you sacrifice? And finally, think about this for a minute. I'll give you a moment of silence after this. I asked this question. This is where you get honest with yourself. I know it'll change next week. Just get honest and check in with yourself. Just so you can hear yourself. You can hear what's preloaded in you. So open your mind, relax. You're among people who are just here to learn. What is an example? Just a word or a phrase now. Just a word or a phrase. What's an example of what you lose when you sacrifice? How does your ego counsel you? What is the cost of sacrifice?
couple examples will do. What happens when you, what do you give up when you sacrifice?
My sanity.
It's you're very sane.
It's insane.
It's everything's okay until you have to sacrifice, and then things start to fall apart.
Well, yeah, you start looking at that. You look at that, like, brings it back to my Catholic upbringing.
Yeah.
You're going to go out here, you're going to give, sacrifice yourself for the better, help these people do whatever they have, uh-huh. just give your whole life, and then uh-huh. you go up, and you start thinking of even more things, always. So you come up with the idea, well, I'll just sacrifice my whole existence to make it better for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mm-hmm. it, and then when you do this, you just don't, it, I always had this feeling it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I must be doing something wrong.
Then you should be guilty for sacrificing the wrong thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bridget, what sacrifice cost?
Myself.
Yourself?
Yeah. Sacrifice. You stay over late, uh-huh. you work an extra lunch, you Ooh. Don't take a break, and everyone else does their thing, and it just kind of gets...
How many times that occurred to me when I worked till 9 o'clock in Silicon Valley at night? Driving home one night, I thought, only way to measure life from the outside, you know, is time. Mm. It's just one of the measures of life is how many heartbeats, how many seconds, how many hours. And I just gave to 9 p.m. for this little software company in Silicon Valley. 9 p.m. Me! That's my life, right? Whatever I am. They always said people were on their deathbed, they don't wish that they had one more hour at work. Nobody says that. I wish I could have finished that project for my boss. You, right? Yeah. What does sacrifice cost? You can pass too, anyway.
I'm passing.
I just thought. Yeah.
Personal time.
Personal time. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Aren't we responsible for living our life, our personal time? And sacrifice is giving that up. So it's you. You're giving up Mark.
Yeah.
There's less Mark when you sacrifice.
Kind of like, you know, doing things my own way, but that's, you know, that's more ego,
isn't it?
It is.
We just got to bust the ego, because we all do this, and we will tomorrow. And some of us will be sacrificing things in the name of love. It's going to be happening. You got to do. Got to watch how this works. Walt, it's a cost of sacrifice over there.
Myself.
There it is.
Relationships.
Wow. Relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can only give what you have, and if you don't give to yourself, you have nothing to give to anyone else.
Yeah, yeah. That's a double-edged sword. It can really harm relationships, because what does sacrifice mean? Anybody? Anybody have an idea of what sacrifice means?
Giving up something you want.
Giving up something you want.
Or value.
Or value. That's why you want it, because it's valuable.
No, the word origin, though, sacred.
Yes.
Something about, you know, you're giving something up for a higher cause.
For a better, something better.
Yeah.
Yes?
This sounds funny, but I was complaining that it comes from baseball, and the sacrifice. You give yourself, you give yourself up to move others forward.
Oh, selfless. A selfless move that will cost you everything.
But then you're sacrificing yourself, like everybody said.
Yes.
You're...
But the higher level is that your team advances because you did a selfless act.
Right.
Well, that's very nice.
There'd be a difference, wouldn't there? So there'd be sacrifice, which I have at the flip side of the sacrifice coin, ultimately is always resentment. But then there's really, like, because there's times where I'm doing things I really don't want to do.
Yes.
It's not comfortable. It's not convenient.
Yes.
But it's inside of something I'm committed to, bigger than that.
Yes.
You know, things I do for my silly dog. I mean,
yes.
People think I'm crazy, but I do anything for her. And there's never anything present but my love. There's not, like, it's a problem. It might, and it doesn't mean I always like it either. But
yes.
It's not like I'm losing anything.
Yes.
Or gaining anything, really. It's just what there is to do. It's just like
yes.
the thing to do based on what I'm committed to.
And you're empowered to do it by love. The pets are a great gift. And children.
The sacrifice part for me always shows up like, oh, I, you know, I want to make sure people think I'm a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm a really good person because I,
mm-hmm.
you know, did whatever I did that someone mm-hmm. might have taken as
should do something.
Or yeah, sometimes the internal thing, which just is, can also occur like a complete blind spot. Mm. I'm in the midst of sacrifice. I know where that's going, but it's like I can't help myself. Whether it's so
ooh, there's an attraction to sacrifice? Are you telling me there's an attraction to being a sacrificer?
Absolutely.
Oh, guess what?
Oh.
That's right there on the page.
It's control. I can actually buy things with my sacrifice. And it better hurt. You better give up something valuable so that what you've done is seen as worthy of either praise or pity or some kind of a compensation.
I gave up my life for you.
I gave the best years of my life for you. You've heard that phrase. Hopefully not in your own personal relationships. You have said that. Julie, is there a cost to sacrifice? What does sacrifice cost?
I'm with everybody else on time. I'm actually really struggling with that one right now. I already have myself in August because I just want to get through this month, and it's summer, and it should be amazing.
Yes. Can you feel the tightness in Julie here? We've all been there. Oh, she's got a calendar, and it's like, oh, my God, I'm thinking of August for my next moment to do, like, wash my car. Oh, geez. Right? Mm-hmm. Right. This is tight around her neck. Can you feel it? Everybody's been there.
I feel it. Let me tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. Silicon Valley guy, employees, you know, the whole deal. And I had this time pressure there, too. And I had to go get an x-ray for a broken something or other. I cracked something. I forget what for. But I had to get an x-ray. And I had to go to this x-ray lab. And I was like, there's time for this? You know, I just wear this. Will it heal by itself? So I was sitting there, and they said, I'm sorry, Mr. Alan Smith, but it's going to be, you have to wait. Because they didn't show up for the shift and we're behind. I was like, I need to wake up about this. Because I am going to sit here and wait for the x-ray machine and get the results. I am. I've decided. And so I thought, So I was young in A Course in Miracles at the time, and I just thought, you know, that book talks a lot about time. I just took a moment, chilled out, and just had this huge weight lifted as I looked at that ugly chair that I'm going to sit in for the next who knows how long. I thought, but this is true. This is what I'm going to do. Just came to peace with it. I gave it all the meaning that it had for me. I had been giving it. This hour and a half wait or where it was going to be. I had been making myself troubled. And then I had this phrase popped out, which is, I already have all the time there is. I have it in my hands. All the time. Do I want more time? Absolutely. Will there be more time? No. Here's what I already have. And somehow that crazy sentence, I don't know, it'll help you, but I just felt, I felt a huge weight lift off of me. Yeah. That's it. Kenny, what was the cost of sacrifice?
So when I sacrifice, I lose my sense of humor.
Oh.
And my happiness.
Wow.
So I spent a lot of time digging out of that till humor comes back.
Yes. Mm. Yes. He loses his sense of humor. When a sacrifice comes, the bon vivant, the humor, and the happiness leave for a while. Mm-hmm. And then he goes about affording to be happy and humorous later, working on bringing it back. Well, that's really well described. Yeah. Sacrificing, there's a mental suffering that goes with giving up something you want for a maybe outcome somewhere else. You could have had the greatest line drive down third, over third base that you're so good at, but the coach says, no, I'll tell you what, I want you to sacrifice.
Well, that's when I heard the difference between resentment and you know, the two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
You can think of that as, I'm helping the team, it's a great thing to do, it's the perfect move.
Yes.
Or, I'm pissed off at my coach because he doesn't think I can hit a double.
He doesn't think you can do it. He thinks you're better.
You have a choice one way or the other.
Hit by the ball. Yeah. You have a choice of what you're doing with it. Then when the team loses anyway, there goes your score, your rating, your personal rate card gets -1. Get it, dirty, dirty. But eventually it happens to come back, but not for a while. Yeah. Because you gave up something that valuable, you could have, you could have hit a double. You know, driven some points in. Yeah, sacrifice, very good. Yeah. Marcia, sacrifice cost, what does it cost?
It costs me my freedom. Because there's always an expectation of something in return. I don't sacrifice for nothing. And it also costs anyone I'm sacrificing for their freedom. Because you have made this obligation.
Obligation. There's a contract.
So everybody's free.
Oh, that's great. Mm. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
I've been there many times on both ends.
Yes. Yes, there's expectations set up, your own personal freedom, on your own, you got things managed, but if you're going to do something for somebody else, getting into questionable territory, are they going to perform? Did you give up enough? Will they be happy with what you sacrificed? Will it be soon enough to count?
Checkbook. Yeah. It's like a checkbook. Or a bank account, I guess I should say.
It's got to work. It's good. Well, we've all been there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carol, what's the cost of a sacrifice?
I think that often I think I'm going to feel good, but I feel bad because I haven't really honored myself. I haven't really been there for myself.
Like what Walt's talking about. Mm-hmm. He says you've sacrificed for some relationship, and you bring then, and that's what Kenny talks about, a humorless, unhappy participant to because you've given up your own strength.
It's like a thud.
Let yourself down. You didn't love yourself. Let yourself down somehow.
Exactly.
That happens a lot with sacrifice, doesn't it? Give up something that you knew you wanted or something you hope is better. But there's an attraction to it.
What does the book say about sacrifice? Is that we're going to talk about that later?
Oh, we're going to talk about that once we get around the circle.
Okay.
That's why we're here tonight.
We're going to talk about that for the next 6 months.
We will probably talk about that for the next 6 months.
But it seems like a true sacrifice would be something like... like a holy relationship. There's a difference between a holy relationship and a special relationship.
Yes.
So sacrifice would be like in the realm, a true sacrifice would be in the realm of a holy relationship, kind of. You're sacrificing something for something that you feel is going to enliven you and enliven the other person in the world, whatever.
You're
stepping into a space.
Yes, the words are different in the book. The book, when you sacrifice, it's a special relationship. When you share, it's a holy relationship. Mm-hmm. We're actually not giving up something.
Right.
We're sharing something.
Right, right.
And it's willful.
Mm-hmm.
It's an eager joining.
Right.
Or sacrifices, I'll give up something.
Because if a sacrifice is, if the root of the word is based on the word sacred, then it would imply that you are forgoing something about yourself to step into some sacred
realm. Yes, this is the nicest definition of it. Yes, that's right.
Which the book also has. It literally says you will have to give up everything, but it's we think it is a sacrifice, and there is no lack. Like, we are everything. All we're letting go is every idea we have about ourselves that is an illusion. It is in the book, but
absolute illusion.
Yes. It's part of the addiction. And this section is talking about the attraction to pain. We'll be reading tonight.
Yeah.
There isn't you kind of want in your special relationship. You want to give up something of value and let the person see it. You want to suffer a little bit as a way to show how involved you are, how dedicated you are.
Prove it.
How much they owe you.
Yeah.
In this keeping score.
Yeah. Jesus, I hate that. I've done that for, I can't even remember for how long.
Yeah. We got to bust that part of your ego, for sure. Because that's what I say, we're drunk on it. It already exists in our default, living in bodies. It's in the movies, it's in the songs, it's in your life, it's your neighbor, the next person you have a argument with, they will probably be looking for some sacrifice that you should make or that they have already made and you owe them. You have to look at this accounting that the ego does. We're just here to bust it so that you don't react to it with more sacrifice, more ego. Then you can switch from a special relationship, which is very contentious, to a holy relationship, which is very sharing. And it goes up. Then we're on the right direction. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
it,
oh,
it doesn't even change what happened. Just the perception of it.
Oh, lesson 21.
We got to go see lesson 21 now. So we got two lessons we got to visit now. Okay.
Two paragraphs.
where we leave off? Colleen. What is sacrifice?
On sacrifice. Take it on.
Steven, what's sacrifice cost?
Peace.
It's a sacrifice. Peace. Wow. Yeah. You know how to manage your peace. Yeah. Luann?
I'm a little bit like Marcia, I think.
Yes.
When I sacrifice, basically it's so I don't trigger somebody else. Because I want to keep peace between us. But what that means is I lose my authentic self, which I can't love them when I'm trying to keep them peace.
It's a lie?
What's a lie?
A sacrifice?
If I'm not loving them, then yes, it's a lie.
You're just doing it so that they don't get set off, but you'd really rather not. You think they should handle it? Their stuff. You'll handle your stuff. But really, what you do is you try to handle some of their stuff by sacrificing.
Hold on a second, because you said something that hit me. It's a lie, and I would really rather them take care of themselves, and that's absolutely true. I would really love it if I didn't have to keep them at peace, which is why I think I have to get them.
Good. Good job, Cecily. Is there any cost to sacrifice?
The only thought that came to my mind is, this is my challenge. You're saying that when you make a sacrifice, you have an expectation of what you're going to get in return. It just made me think in the Jewish religion, they say the highest form of giving is when you give and you don't tell anybody that you gave. Like, they recognize that, like, it's inherent to get the acknowledgement, and that's a payback, or everyone thinks, your name's on the donor list or whatever. But if you give and nobody knows that you gave, then that's, like, supposedly the highest form. So
the less chance for the ego to get in there and have this contract running.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
I remember the name of the book, but I couldn't think of it yet. It's called Magnificent Obsession.
Ah.
And there was a doctor in it who died. Because the machine he needed was being used by this Playboy law president. And I say that because he was paired up with Jane Wyman and there was no chemistry. But anyway, in the book, he would let people come in and he would take care of them, and then if they had very little money, he would say, "You don't need to pay me at all. I only have one request, and that is you don't tell anybody." And what he believed was, this isn't exactly what you're saying, but what he believed was if he didn't, if they didn't tell anybody and it did something with no payback, or as his ego was concerned, then he would be led to finding something that would help everybody. That, I think that might be considered a holy sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, your heart's in the right place. Kim, what's the cost of sacrifice?
Well, separation.
Whoa.
Because sacrifice is total ego thing, because you're acknowledging to your own ego that whoever or whatever you're sacrificing for is in need of your help, that God is not in charge of the person, place, thing, or thing that is happening around you. You're separating yourself from God and you're creating the void between yourself and everything out there. And so you're unhappy. And you don't really understand why, because you think you're doing this really good thing when you're just trying to control the situation.
Yeah. Control. Yeah.
So I have a hard time. I like that, Kim. But when I first started, when you first started talking during the meditation, I was thinking, I know sacrifice isn't the way to know that you're loved. But I don't know how to know whether I'm loved or not.
When you love it, you'll know it. When you can acknowledge, and Julie can help me with this, but when you can acknowledge that connection of that oneness with God within yourself and have it be completely and totally within yourself and not have anything to do with anything outside of you, you will know that you are loved. Is that...
I'm not listening, so I'm hoping you get it right.
No, I was asking Julie, because Julie...
Julie?
Julie knows.
Yeah. Well, I think we can't totally touch love in this separateness, but there's a constancy of peace, joy, love, freedom, etc., that just, when you can... feel that it is there every moment. It when it wells up, and you can acknowledge that actually that was always there. Like it never actually goes away. We're so distracted from experiencing it.
We all have it. It's there in all of us because we're all one and connected, but. It's hard to tap into it and acknowledge it and understand it until you do. It's an experience, right? It's an experience.
Yes, and the ego will never let you know that you are loved. It's because it would start to dissolve how the ego works. So ego works on separation.
You have to reach back for your own love.
What's that?
You can feel your own love on occasion.
Right.
Often.
Right.
And I guess then the recognition that everybody else has that same sense of themselves if they dig deep enough or if they let themselves out.
Yeah.
They get
so
away from their ego.
What happens in this book is you will eventually bring you to a moment of recognition, recognize, re-knowing what you knew before. Mm-hmm. It's the song. That you can't remember the words to or the exactly, but you know you loved it, the melody, you loved it. This is the forgotten song of your truth. You it's not that you would be loved, which is what the ego would have you do the right thing so somebody will love you, make you feel that way. No, it's that you'd wake up to you are love.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different definition than what we understand love to be. It's not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not the love that we've ever understood.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you taste this love with a capital L, you will start to recognize that it would never fit in that body. And yet you know it to be you. But you couldn't fit it in your body. And that reconciliation is a spiritual awakening. You recognize the power of that love has always been there, but it's had conditions of being coming from the outside and being small. Mm-hmm. And it would come or go. And then I just wanted to do the right thing so it comes and stays. I want it to stay. Right? And that's the other, that's a small L love. And the world's made that way.
You know, I had an experience when my granddaughter was a baby, she wasn't one yet, and she was lying on a blanket looking up at a tree, and for 45 minutes this little kid stared at the leaves twinkling through the tree, and I was watching her the whole time. One time she turned around and smiled at me, and she turned her head back, and I thought, you know what, she's experiencing all the love there is. I hope that she remembers it when she gets to be an adult.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Andrew,
yes.
Is it sharing if you're doing, you know, people who have, like, most people who have children are sharing things with their kids. They don't think of
yes.
it as sacrificing.
That, isn't that right? Isn't that right, mothers in the room?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't
I
that
like
right?
that distinction that you made. Yeah.
Nice.
Because, because there is the love of your dog or your child.
Yeah.
And that is a sharing.
Yeah.
It's not a...
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that with my kids.
Yeah.
I'm
not always like that.
Personality. You know?
Pets have the ability to get you to...
Yeah. I'm not always like that with my cat either.
I think it's interesting, the talk about you know, love, there's it being, I thought that was really interesting what you said, that it's so different than what we think of as love. And I've had moments where I've felt like real love, and what's interesting about it to me is that it doesn't discriminate or distinguish. Mm-hmm. So like, I've almost felt guilty because I'll feel a sense of love and I'll think about like my kids or my husband, and I don't feel like I love them any more than I love anybody else or anything. And then all of a sudden I'll start to feel like guilty, and it'll like burst a hole in that feeling of love, because I'm like, oh, I should love them more or feel more special about them. But when I'm in that true, genuine feeling of love, I don't like have special people.
It's yes. Weird. Because that's when you're good. Saying, we all do this, but when we say, oh, well, I should love them more, or I'm not feeling it right now for this, then you're putting, that's not the big L love, yeah. Because then that's got conditions on it.
Yeah.
All the time.
So slippery slope.
It's really hard to get to capture those experiences in life, because we're so distracted by all the chaos, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's just...
And this is what vision is, Christ's vision is, when you see it there, mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. You put your Christ goggles on, and you begin to see through things that were blocking love before. Like, turn to text, page 338.
Do you sell those goggles?
I sell the forgiveness pills. I got forgiveness into a pill, but I haven't got the
vision. Goggles, please.
I haven't got the goggles yet.
It's not a dollar value, it's a time value.
338, if memory serves me right. And it's paragraph 6.
What? Dollar store and buy some more glasses.
Yeah, we need more glasses. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll do.
Four. I'll do it.
Oh, you'll do it? Thank you.
What was the page?
Page 338, paragraph 6. I mean, there's a lot of great... Kim, stop looking at love as is not an illusion. Your wishful thinking... Oh, my God. No, 6 tonight. Paragraph 6.
A fact!
Look at paragraph 6, sentence 1. David, you want to read that for us? Yeah, you can read that whole paragraph, actually.
Right there on 338.
On 338. We all there?
Yes.
Bottom of the page on the left.
Your task?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
This is one of the places in the book that I consider it's like fine print of a contract. And it says, right there in black and white, if you're seeking for love outside of yourself, you can be sure you are perceiving hatred within.
Interesting.
Whoa!
Well, that's like looking for a special relationship, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Fill a hole in me, and that's how I know you're the right person.
Do it to me.
Do it to me. That's how I know you're right for me.
Yeah.
Well, I've had people say, do you love me? Do you love me? You know, and it's like, well, of course, you know, how can I prove it? I tell you that all the time. How can I prove it? Prove it.
Right, prove it.
So that is interesting when it says
isn't that interesting?
I can't do anything to... You
could buy a lie detector machine.
Yeah. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. It just sees it. Calls them as it sees them. That's how the ego works. Hatred within, and it's looking for that love without. Prove to me you love me, and then I'll relax about how I feel about you.
That one time.
Whoa!
Where's the love? You say, it takes one to know one.
But isn't that the whole cultural context in terms of like when you refer to, you know, not big L love? I mean, that, and you mentioned it too, Andrew, movies, magazine articles,
yep.
television shows,
yes.
everywhere where
yes.
there's this notion of love.
Right.
And all the conditions around
it. Around it.
So, you know, and I'm, you know, a child of the 50s. So not only was it that whole upward mobile thing, every time
yes.
it's got to be better, and better
yes.
or more expensive car, bigger
yes.
house, or whatever.
Yes.
But there was something to prove.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it was so hard to get something in the world that you could say worthy of love, valuable forever. So De Beers Diamond Company.
Oh, yeah.
They really hit on it. They said a diamond lasts forever. You're going to get married. You at least get a diamond out of it.
Yeah, it looks
because
like
that's what we like.
When your marriage ends, you can get some money.
You
out
still got something that lasts forever.
It yes. just may not stay in your possession forever.
Yeah, 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 yeah. yeah. Okay, so but my attention is, I want to call you to your attention to sentence one in paragraph six. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you've built against it.
Mm-hmm.
That is your task.
Makes sense.
Yes, it's good. Put down the bottle. Put down the drug. Put down this ego. This is Ego's Anonymous.
It's hard to understand. Put down the sacrifice.
Yep. Let's look more at that then. And before we do, now turn to, this has been forever since I've done this one, so I'm going to guess a little bit. I think it's page 32 in the workbook. I'm going to say 32, and I'm not going to say the lesson number, so not to confuse people. And I was right. Yeah, page 32. Think about when we went around the room and we all said we're giving up something of value for something better. Mm-hmm. Marcia said it beautifully, I think. She's really giving up her peace and her freedom with a contract she doesn't know it's going to go anywhere. Check out paragraph 2, last sentence, sentence 5.
Where are you?
We're in the workbook on page 32 in the workbook.
The lessons.
Yeah, lessons, right in the middle of the book.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, right. The numbers restart four times. And
lesson
so.
21?
The so, workbook yes. is mm-hmm. yeah. part of the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody show me.
Workbook. Yeah, really.
Say at the top. See, it says workbook for students. It's about, so then go to page 32 within that.
It's about that far in the book.
Like yeah. three chapters.
Yeah. Yes, there. The book originally was a bunch of books, and they sewed them all together into that version that you have. Four books.
It says lesson 21 at the top, workbook for students. Very top.
Yes. Yeah, right behind you. Yes, please turn on the lights. Anybody, light switch near you, crank it on. Stephen, right behind you. Kim, if you want more light, there's one more for you.
Oh, it's on the light. The switch is on the light, so.
Got it.
Yeah,
good. I couldn't see what it was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bridget, would you read for us just the last sentence in paragraph 2? Paragraph, sentence 5.
It is merely an example.
Wait, that's not my book. You will become increasingly. In paragraph 2, sentence 5.
2, not 3, yeah.
Paragraph 2, sentence 5, you will become. Did I just read that?
You're doing great.
You will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury.
light between.
That's how you see. That's how you see the barriers to love. A slight twinge of discomfort is actually a thin veil over intense fury. I have to give up my lunch time for you because you couldn't make it back from the dentist's office in time, and now I can give up my lunch so that everything works fine. Will anybody even know that I gave up my personal time just to make all this work fine?
You're really speaking my language today.
They say, Marcia. I guess they say, Marcia. They say, Julie. They say, Julie, can you do this for us? And Julie says, sure.
That's
little twinge, little twinge, little, sure. And beneath that is intense fury. And the book is, this is just an example of how the workbook works. To help you see the ego underneath your nice acts.
And I'm not present at all. And I know I'm not present, and it's so frustrating.
Yes.
It's so frustrating.
Yes. It's not a sharing. No. It's some kind of a twisted victimhood you're going through. But at least you can remind somebody of it later and say, hey, I gave up my lunch. The whole thing without complaining. Now it's your turn. The next
make
time.
Make them as guilty as possible.
As guilty as you can. When it comes time for a raise, if you mark it on your calendar, save the calendar. And you can show all the times you sacrifice your lunches, and you know, it might be worth a raise. You can guilt your boss. Oh, yeah. Guilt your boss into a raise. That may work or it may backfire completely.
So the difference between having that slight twinge and a psychopath is that the psychopath acts on the rage.
Yes. You were here for that night. It was one of your first nights you were here.
Oh,
I think. Because I think you were really helpful. When we were talking about the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath.
Yeah,
that was, Woo. Okay, now let's dive in.
I have a difference now in the DSM. Oh. It's all sociopath.
Hmm. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Whoa. Are we up to DSM-5 now?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Isn't the difference that psychopaths kill people and sociopaths don't?
Not anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, let's... So if we're going to dive too deep into psychology, jump to the back of the book, you're on page 32 now, go to page 462. 462.
In the text.
We're going to advance 300 lessons in the workbook. We're going to go forward 300 lessons. Yeah, so new guy, the book, in the middle book where you are now, there's a lesson for each day of the year. And then, so that it kind of walks you through the teaching that's in the first part of the book called the text. And it kind of, so
462.
Page 462.
Which lesson?
22? Lesson 322.
Okay.
I can give up, but what was never real. Yo.
Well, wait a minute. There's a
but
in there.
What is that but?
Yeah. Well, the Course in Miracles has the word but in there. You could switch it for the word only. Sometimes Course in Miracles uses but just so they can get the iambic pentameter working right. I think I busted Jesus a few times. But it also works to slow you down. Because you will read Course in Miracles, you'll tend to want to get through it, and just, you know, before you get in the car, you just, oh, let me just read this lesson. But I didn't understand a word of that. You shouldn't have understood a word of that if you didn't mean to spend time with it. So Course in Miracles is written in a way with double negatives, triple negatives, the word but slid in there, just so it can catch your ego from reading it like a novel.
I think that probably the reason is that Jesus Christ, if this book was dictated by Jesus Christ, he probably just never had grammar.
He probably, nobody schooled
him. He never had English class.
He wouldn't even English. He didn't even, he born and died speaking Farsi or something.
Yeah.
Well, give him a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when the word but is in A Course in Miracles, two things about it. One is you can just put in the word only. It means absolute. It's an indication to absolute. What we're saying is absolute. But it also means that it's time to wake up to what I'm about to say. Which is true for in the ego in the world too. Anytime somebody's marching along and saying things and they say it's really nice that you came, but I'm about to tell you what I really want you to hear. You can forget everything I just said. But you need to do this differently. Thank you, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, you did a great job at this company so far, but there have been some complaints about what you do in the kitchen.
Oh. I think you're just rationalizing for grammar.
And like I said, it might just be a way to get it all to measure out to add a pentameter, too.
I think the but you're talking about, though, is the one that's right after a comma.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said a couple of times ago that when there's a but, that's really what's going on.
Uh-huh.
But in this case, it all goes together.
Yes. Yeah. That's true. That's really true.
Okay. So sometimes it's, this is what I really want you to pay attention to, and sometimes it's only.
It's only.
Yeah,
yes, okay. Most often, of course, that's what it means. Okay. It's an indication to the absolute. Thank you for that, Luann. So I can give up, but what was I can give up? What was only I can only give up what was never real. You see, because what's real, you can't give up because it's real.
Yeah,
that's what makes it real. It doesn't ever go away. Welcome to reality. Things that come and go are not real. They're not true. That's how we know they're not true, if it comes and goes. Me, my entire first marriage? What?
All right, how many marriages have you had?
I haven't had any.
Well, why don't you say my first marriage?
But this is an indication for us, as lesson 133 will drag you through. It says, how can you know what's real and what's worthwhile? Well, if it'll last forever, that's worthwhile. There's four measures of what's worthwhile. But wait a minute, what lasts forever in this world? Can you give me an example of something that lasts forever, Anthony?
In this world?
In this world.
Material world? Nothing.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, so it's a pretty short list.
You're talking about in this material
world? Yes.
Everything goes in cycles.
The whole planet, every atom gets recycled. In fact, did you know? Now I forget the proton count. But you know, there's not one atom of gold, one atom of gold that was made in this entire solar system. It came from some other star that exploded and collapsed. Took that much power to push the protons together to get gold. So it didn't come from here. It came from some death someplace else. This whole world will also be completely disassembled. This is the material world and the laws of the world. And your body, every 7 years, completely recycles. Sheds off itself. So you're not really your body, no matter how hard you try to make that true. I can sacrifice but what was never real. The indication here is that you're hanging on to something that's about to blow into the past, and you won't even remember you're upset. Just give it a few days or weeks. You won't even remember. So chill. You are making your life miserable. That's part of what we're learning with this book. And so we do with the workbook through lessons like this, is it tries to catch you and hanging on to things that are actually meaningless and useless. And you won't even care about it soon enough. Oh, and that's part of lesson number 5. Okay, let's read them. So we're up to Anthony. Would you read for us the whole lesson 322?
The whole lesson.
Yep. All two paragraphs.
I sacrifice illusions, nothing more. And as illusions go, I find the gifts illusions try to hide, awaiting me in shining welcome, and in readiness to give God's ancient messages to me. His memory abides in every gift that I receive of Him. And every dream serves only to conceal the self, which is God's only Son, the likeness of Himself, the Holy One who still abides in Him forever, as He still abides in me. Father, to You, all sacrifice remains forever inconceivable, and so I cannot sacrifice except in dreams. As You created me, I can give up nothing You gave me. What You did not give has no reality. What loss can I anticipate except the loss of fear and the return of love into my mind?
Thank you. That's one of the lessons of A Course in Miracles.
It tells you what to practice, and it doesn't have it down.
It's part two of the workbook. It's different.
Right.
This is part two. So you're going to spend an entire day, if you choose to do this crazy book, you would spend a whole day with just those words.
I can see why.
Yeah, and to me, I realized there's so many levels of teaching going on here in each lesson, and that each year I do the workbook. When I do the workbook, it turns out a different sentence gets highlighted, and that's my lesson really is that sentence. Even though I essentially ignore the rest of the lesson because this one got me in my heart and in my mind. One of these sentences, and that's my lesson. It's amazing how productive this book can be year after year. Yeah. Okay, and then let's read the next lesson as well, 323.
323, okay.
Yeah.
I gladly make the sacrifice of fear. Here's the only sacrifice you ask of your beloved son. You ask him to give up all suffering, all sense of loss and sadness, all anxiety and doubt, and freely let your love come streaming into his awareness, healing him of pain, and giving him your own eternal joy. Such is the sacrifice you ask of me, and one I gladly make, the only cost of restoration of your memory to me for the salvation of the world. And as we pay the debt we owe to truth, a debt that merely is the letting go of self-deceptions and of images we worship falsely, truth returns to us in wholeness and in joy. We are deceived no longer. Love has now returned to our awareness, and we are at peace again, for fear has gone, and only love remains.
And so you who have not come this far in the workbook yet should be pretty happy that it's very, very consistent. It continues with the essential messages. The gifts are enormous for your awakening. Okay, let's get to tonight's reading. Jump to page 414. Is that right? 414? We're going to start a new subsection tonight. The attraction of pain. Well, when you're ready, would you read for us paragraph 9? Mm-hmm.
Your little part is but to give the Holy Spirit the whole idea of sacrifice and to accept the peace he gives instead without the limits that would hold its extension back and so would limit your awareness of it. For what he gives must be extended if you would have its limitless power and use it for the Son of God's release. It is not this you would be rid of, and having it, you cannot limit it. If peace is homeless, so are you and so am I. And he who is your home is homeless with us. Is this your wish? Would you forever be a wanderer in search of peace? Would you invest your hope of peace and happiness in what must fail?
Yeah.
Would you,
yeah, Julie.
Wait a second. Would you, maybe Anthony, say what the Son of God is?
Yes. The Son of God is your true self as you were created. And the Son of Man and the Son of the Ego is Anthony, the guy in the mirror.
Son of God is your true self.
Your true self is the Son of God. And there's only one Son of God.
That's what I imagine.
Yeah.
There's only one Son of God.
One Son of God. And it's There's only one extension of God. And it's a dream that would have many parts. Julie.
Faith in the eternal is always justified, for the eternal is forever kind, infinite in its patience and wholly loving. It will accept you wholly and give you peace. Yet it can unite only with what already is at peace in you, immortal as itself. The body can bring you neither peace nor turmoil, neither joy nor pain. It is a means and not an end. It has no purpose of itself, but only what is given to it. The body will seem to be whatever is the means for reaching the goal you assign it. Only the mind can set a purpose, and only the mind can see the means for its accomplishment and justify its use.
Beautiful.
Peace and guilt are both conditions of the mind to be attained. And these conditions are the home of the emotion that calls them forth and therefore is compatible with them.
Woo.
I have to explain that last sentence.
Well, we certainly will.
Okay.
And then, Kenny, would you read for us paragraph 11?
But thank you, which it is that is capable with you.
Compatible
with you. Mm-hmm. Here is your choice, and it is free. But all that lies in it will come with it. And what you think you are can never be apart from it. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Okay. Marsh, would you take over and then continue on to the next paragraph?
Sure. The body is the great seeming betrayer of faith. In it lies his disillusionment and the seeds of faithlessness, but only if you ask of it what it cannot give. Can your mistake be reasonable grounds for depression and disillusionment and for retaliative attack on what you think has failed you? Use not your error as the justification for your faithlessness. You have not sinned, but you have been mistaken in what is faithful, and the correction of your mistake will give you grounds for faith. It is impossible to seek for pleasure through the body and not find pain. It is essential that this relationship be understood, for it is one the ego sees as proof of sin. It is not really penitent at all. It is but the inevitable result of equating yourself with the body, which is the invitation to pain. For it invites fear to enter and become your purpose. The attraction of guilt must enter with it, and whatever fear directs the body to do is therefore painful. It will share the pain of all illusion, and the illusion of pleasure will be the same as pain.
Carol?
Is this not inevitable? Under fear's orders, the body will pursue guilt. Serving its master, whose attraction to guilt maintains the whole illusion of its existence. This, then, is the attraction of pain. Ruled by this perception, the body becomes the servant of pain, seeking it dutifully and obeying the idea that pain is pleasure. It is this idea that underlies all of the ego's heavy investment in the body, and it is this insane relationship that it keeps hidden and yet feeds upon. To you, it teaches that the body's pleasure is happiness, yet to itself it whispers, it is death.
Mm-hmm. Colleen?
Why should the body be anything to you? Certainly what it is made of is not precious. And just as certainly, it has no feeling. It transmits to you the feelings that you want. Like any communication medium, the body receives and sends the messages that it is given. It has no feeling for them. All the feeling with which they are invested is given by the sender and the receiver. The ego and the Holy Spirit both recognize this, and both also recognize that here the sender and receiver are the same. The Holy Spirit tells you this with joy. The ego hides it, for it would keep you unaware of it. Who would send messages of hatred and attack if he but understood? He sends them to himself. Who would accuse, make guilty, and condemn himself?
Mm-hmm. Question. Define Holy Spirit as is used here, please.
Nice.
Very confusing.
Nice. The Holy Spirit, in A Course in Miracles, is not something outside of you, but part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. And so the Holy Spirit's job is to translate what your body's eyes would see or your ears would hear. Translate those from what the ego would do with them back to your holy use, W-H-O-L-L-Y, an inclusive use. So Holy Spirit, only job is here in the world of separation to help you unify. The Holy Spirit is to help you translate what looks separate and see what the commonalities are. Here, where things seem to be really separate.
ego is trying to keep you separate, and the Holy Spirit is the truth in you that's trying to bring it together.
Amen, brother. Yep. Yep. Let's continue.
The ego's messages are always sent away from you in the belief that for your message of attack and guilt will someone other than yourself suffer. And even if you suffer, yet someone else will suffer more. The great deceiver recognizes that this is not so. But as the enemy of peace, it urges you to send out all your messages of hate and free yourself. And to convince you this is possible, it bids the body search for pain and attack upon another, calling it pleasure and offering it to you as freedom from attack.
Whew. Oh my God. Ego delight.
I have to pass. I don't have my glasses.
Okay.
Hear not its madness, and believe not the impossible is true. Forget not that the ego has dedicated the body to the goal of sin, and places in it all its faith that this can be accomplished. Its sad disciples chant the body's praise continually, in solemn celebration of the ego's rule. No one, not one, but must believe that yielding to the attraction of guilt is the escape from pain. Not one, but must regard the body as himself, without which he would die, and yet within which is his death equally inevitable.
It is not given to the ego's disciples to realize that they have dedicated themselves to death. Freedom is offered them, but they have not accepted it, and what is offered must also be received to be truly given. For the Holy Spirit, too, is a communication medium, receiving from the Father and offering his messages unto the Son. Like the ego, the Holy Spirit is both sender and the receiver, for what is sent through him returns to him, seeking itself along the way and finding what it seeks. So does the ego find the death it seeks, returning it to you.
Very good. We'll have some fun with that one.
Now tell us what the heck all that meant.
What the heck? What did it say? Oh my God. Okay.
That's really sad to think that I want to trash myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Some part of you decided it would come and invest in something that could die and put all your chips on it. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we purposely do that to ourselves. I think that we have been trained to do that.
And so
we're misinformed about a lot of things. We have misconceptions about relationships and how we should treat other people and how we should respond to our own inner demons and our thoughts and all that. But the Holy Spirit and your true nature corrects that.
And it is 180 degrees the other direction. And that's what makes this so radical. Mm-hmm. In order for you to understand these sentences, some part of your mind, somewhere along the way, has to have a spiritual awakening. If you hang on to the separate world of separation and competition among things, survival of the body especially, even Jesus died. I mean, there's something wrong with that concept. If you hang on to that, you cannot get the spiritual awakening that this is leading to. There is another definition for you that does not include your body. This book would have you practice that. First it has you kind of hint, and then it has you drill it into your head for 20 days in a row, 40 times a day. And this is the phrase. It's, I am not a body. I am free, for I'm still as God created. It just happens to be true. It's in this book because you don't believe that. You're very busy with the separation dream. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of is Kenny, we have sports where
we'll put on certain color clothing and then go down to the field where we will intentionally ram our bodies in the guy with the other color clothing.
That's the, why I read the same color.
So. Well, you're safe. You want to wear whatever color he's wearing? That's the one you want. Or this guy. We do that intentionally for the benefits of the idea of football. You know, these contact sports. You demolish the other guy. That's the whole, he signed up for it, you signed up for it, you each think you're going to win. And it's going to be great. In fact, now you get paid huge millions of dollars. OMG. A little bit of brain issues, maybe, but go get them, Tiger. Hit them low, hit them hard, hit them fast. We checked out your brain, you know, stuff off.
And all of the fans in the stands are one with the team.
They're rooting in
all the same.
But it's a camaraderie in a team.
Well,
your high school buddies.
So welcome to planet Earth. It's like, there's fun to be
you
had.
You don't
here.
Even care whether you win or not if you're just with your buddies. I mean, you know, it's great you win. But.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Honest people take it very seriously.
Yeah. From a woman's point of view.
Yeah. So you
well,
got to make sure.
Guy.
So
know,
the women have to win. When there's a contest between men and women, we hope the woman prevails. If you're a woman. Men and women, you're like, I hope you prevail too. That's so cute. Right? Because guys think they're always going to win when it comes to a physical contest with a woman.
Yeah.
Right? But there's a little part to say, I hope the underdog wins. Women say, watch, woman power, go take over. Democrats and Republicans, we each hope the other one loses.
Yeah.
This is the, guess, welcome to Earth. Now we got life and death. We hope life wins one more time. Doctor, look at the report again. And I'll see you tomorrow. I don't believe you. I think you need to do some research. I don't believe you. I think I'm going to survive this one. Right? This is the world of contrast. The world of differences. And it's fun as hell. How fun is hell?
That's a new one for you.
It is. Yeah. But there we are. So if you've had enough of this game, you're going to need a miracle. Because the world will continue to deliver everything it's delivered up to this point over and over again. Because you're so addicted to your past, that's where you're looking for your happiness. You're going to measure what happens against what you think is already real. And then you'll decide if you're happy. That's ego. And that's the world. There is another way to face your everyday life with its ups and downs. That's how this book started. Two people were having a very difficult ego relationship, and one of them said, there's got to be a better way. And then Helen, who heard the voice, said, there must be a better way, and I'll help you find it. And the next day she heard this little voice in her head, and out came this freaking book, 7 years' time. There's another way. Yeah. Okay, so where's our clock?
Okay,
do it good. Oh, good. All right. So, paragraph 1 on page 414.
Paragraph 9.
And paragraph 9. Thank you. Paragraph 9. Your little part. So, we just finished a section a year or two ago. There's only 10 pages back. And it's, you know, the little willingness. The little willingness. And it says that your ego has a hard time recognizing that your part is so small. Your part, if you do this book, your part in your spiritual awakening, is so small, and you get so much in return. The ego says, no, 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 no. No pain, no gain. I know how things work. The Course says, you're completely backwards. If you're experiencing pain, you're in ego, and it's just going to get worse for you. You're busy on the road to the descent to hell. If you think that you need to suffer and sacrifice in order to find love.
It's kind of like a feeling of digging deeper.
Yeah.
You know, like trying to get it right.
Yes.
Figure right. It out to
yes.
Find the answer.
Yes, just try harder.
Just try harder.
Yeah, it's like beating your head against the wall. It's only going to feel good when you stop.
Mm-hmm.
You need to stop the addiction to the world and trying to find happiness in your body,
and in the world bringing you love.
So how I'm reading this is only to give the Holy Spirit the whole idea of sacrifice. So that reminds me of what you said a number of times. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you with something. So if I say to him, I do sacrifice, would you please help me with this? Then the whole idea of sacrifice, he accepts and gives you peace instead.
Yes. So this is like, it reminds me of page 90, which is on that little slip of paper, your little bookmark. Did everybody get one, by the way? Do we need to print more? We're good. So keep a finger here and flip back to page 90. It's one of our toolbox pages.
In the text?
In the text, thank you. Page 90 in the text. It's one of the places you go to when you're trying to figure out, how do I turn this over with the Holy Spirit? I need to do something now because my peace is gone. I'm mad. I'm upset. I just want my peace back.
Mad at yourself, mad at everybody else.
You betcha. So, look at the italics here. And who's up to bat?
Anybody? You.
You.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, look at this. Where should we? Is this page 90 in the text?
Where?
In the text.
In the text.
The first part of the book.
Yeah, close to the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
We've been here before.
So we'll just read the whole paragraph. And it says, decision cannot be difficult. Okay, this is obvious if you realize that you must have already decided not to be wholly joyous, if that is how you feel. Does that remind us of lesson number 2? I've given everything I see, all the meaning it has for me. The workbook's going to take you through essential lessons in the text. First, it's got to introduce you to them. Therefore, the first step in the undoing is to recognize that you actively decided wrongly, but can as actively decide otherwise. Now, be very firm with yourself in this and keep yourself fully aware that the undoing process, which does not come from you, is nevertheless within you because God placed it there. To your part, it's merely to return your thinking to the point at which the error was made and give it over to the atonement in peace. And atonement is also redefined in this book than the Catholic teaching. And the atonement is really the movement of your mind back to oneness. That's it. Say this to yourself as sincerely as you can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to your slightest invitation. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me.
That was such a hard one to read about my corner. And I think it's because it gives me so much hope.
Nice.
That all I have to do is give up my own control and let the Holy Spirit run me.
Yes. Turn it back over to the Holy Spirit. We'll instantly go to work the instant you do. That's right. Yes. We make our own lives very difficult. With each decision, we have the chance to switch off the darkness and switch on the light. It happens right when you let go of what you think is supposed to be happening.
That very last sentence on that page is extremely confusing to me.
Good.
I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me.
Yes. The Holy Spirit, we learn that the Holy Spirit is the opposite of your...
him is referring to?
That's what him is, the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, because your ego is what decided that you needed to raise your voice and get revenge. That's why you lost, for example, and that's why you lost your peace. That's when you came to this page. You said, you know what? I was in a Course in Miracles meeting last night, but today it worked, tomorrow, right? I feel like really attacking somebody, doing something wrong to me and taking my peace. Before you do that, come read this page. And now let your Holy Spirit go talk to that person, not your ego. Your ego is going to make a deeper, darker situation darker and deeper.
You can let Donald Trump sit in the middle of the room.
Yeah, you can arrange that. Very special Course in Miracles meeting tonight. Mr. Trump has agreed to. Yes. Yeah, you know, and this goes right along with one of our recent favorites. Page 494, paragraph 21 and 22. Yeah. This is for the new guy, really, because these are great paragraphs. Text, page 494.
We're only like 5 years away from it.
That's coming right up, then. See, this is a great portion of the book. In chapter 23, you know, this is you see the top of the page. It says the war against yourself. Mm-hmm. This is the laws of chaos. It's a fantastic part of the book when we get there. And the course is just describing and pleading with you to recognize that you're the very reason that you have difficulties. And you're participating in them quite intimately. And that's where we know your blocks to peace is what we're working on now. So look how it says it. Look how it pleads with you not to sink your own boat. David, paragraph 21.
From the belief in sin, faith in chaos must fall. It is because,
and then of course, the miracle sin is separation. Really, belief in separation of real differences. Go ahead.
It is because it follows that it seems to be a logical conclusion, a valid step in ordered thought. The steps of chaos do follow neatly from their starting point. Each is a different form in the progression of truth's reversal, leading still deeper into terror and away from truth.
And remember, Course in Miracles counsels us that the power that made the world, the ego, it's equally powerful as to your Holy Spirit. It's equally powerful.
Which means it's really a choice.
It's really a choice.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit's only there when you call on it. It's the destructive use of your mind is as equally powerful as the healing use of your mind. Because they're your mind. Because of what you are in truth, you could do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You will not be limited. You are an extension of God. You're waking up to that. Along the way, you've got a little creative with this whole separation idea. Mm-hmm. And you get to live with it for as long as you want. It's the prodigal son story in the Bible.
I don't think that most of us see it so clearly as a choice. I think that it's you know, it sneaks up on us. We're so used to doing things, you know, we have bad habits. You know, we do things in a particular pattern and have you know, triggers and all sorts of stuff, and it happens. It seems like it happens to us.
Yes.
And I think the great thing about this book is it starts to, you know, I'm starting to be able to tell the difference, you know, in my mind, in my own mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the difference, you know?
Yes.
What's the right, do I do things this way or that way? Because I always have had these questions, you know?
Yes.
And it gets easier.
It gets easier.
Yeah.
As you start to get informed about what choice pays off with peace.
Yeah. Right.
And what choice pays off with ego.
Right.
But I think the information.
Amen, brother.
Comes from your Holy Spirit, not from your mind, from your thinking.
I agree.
And so therefore, for me, all I have to do is stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is stay awake to what my Holy Spirit is telling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or what the Holy Spirit is telling me.
And another way of saying stay awake means to be present.
Be present.
Another way to say that.
Absolutely.
And you recognize that when you're listening to your ego, you're in some other time. You're thinking about what in the past, or you're thinking about what will happen in the future. You're at some other time rather than choosing what's peaceful right now.
Yeah.
It's how you hear the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. One of the best exercises I read in the book, I forget what book it was the power of observation. And that means if my thoughts are going bananas at the moment, just, okay, stop. What are the sounds like right now?
Mm-hmm.
What does this room look like? What is the temperature like?
Get out
what
of the past.
People around me.
Get not, out of the future. Get out right. of the worry.
You know, and not judging what this other person is doing, but just watching what this other person is doing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Not judging, he says.
It's like, they said in this book that it's like being on, watching boats go past a river,
mm-hmm.
on a river.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are yachts, and some of them are, you know, like ugly barges.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter, because mm-hmm. the river's just going to keep flowing. If that's mm-hmm. what you're, you know. You're just observing, and it's whatever's there is there.
Get out of the judgment. You can actually enjoy watching whatever boat happens to be there.
Exactly.
But I think the important part of that is not so much what you're seeing out there, but what you're noticing in here.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what's going out there and what I'm in reality is there's nothing out there that has anything to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go inside, then it's, what am I allowing myself to feel? What am I allowing myself to think? How am I allowing myself to be?
That doesn't work for me, because when I go that way sometimes, it's just too spinny.
That's right.
I have to.
Isn't that right? Isn't that perfect? Did you hear his nice testimony? We've all been there. I think that's why we picked up and managed to work our way through the workbook, because it's too spinny without a guide. The inside is chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I can still that, and that's why this was a great lesson for me, because it works for me. I don't know if it would work for somebody else.
Sure, sure.
But to just take that breath
and
say, okay, there's a light there. There's that picture right there of all these flowers.
Doesn't that sound like there are any lessons?
There's, you know.
Yeah, the lessons.
Just, right?
Yeah.
Just like the very lessons. Like, yeah. Look at the button, look at the hinge, look at the right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what you're going to see in the beginning of the workbook.
Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
Cool.
The lessons.
The lessons.
Think not one step is smaller than another. Know that return from one is easier. The whole descent from heaven lies in each one. And where your thinking starts, there must it end.
This is like fine print. The Course in Miracles is very much like a how-to manual to your mind. And if you're going to be following the ego programming, here's what happens every time. Well,
couldn't they simplify this and teach it to kids when they're like 5?
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your parents may tell you this, but you actually are. They may say that you're a bad boy, but you're not a bad boy. You're a good boy.
That'd be nice. Yeah, they're dealing with their own stuff. You're a little child of God, not a child of that. Okay, Mark, bring it. 22. This is Jesus' plea with you.
You want
Bridget.
Oh, Bridget?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Okay. Yes.
Brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet, any instant, it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you choose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way to go, which way you go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend to join with you and give you certainty of where you go.
You gotta love this course.
What's the friend?
Right, Bridget?
Holy Spirit.
Isn't that pretty personal? Could you see yourself working through that right there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, friend is Holy Spirit. Yes. Good, good, good. Okay, let's go back and pick up the end of tonight's reading, which was on page 414. We have just a few minutes left. Okay. Paragraph 9 says, your little part is but to give the Holy Spirit the whole idea of sacrifice and to accept the peace that he gives instead. Without the limits that would hold its extension back and so would limit your awareness of it. And that's your part. That's your little part, is to undo. There's nothing here to do, thank God. There's nothing in the world that's the key to happiness. There's no special trick that you need to memorize so that you can navigate the world and be a blissful person in an enlightened way. No, that's the world, teaching of the world. No, it's getting still.
Is extension the same as sacrifice?
Is extension the same as sacrifice? Where did you get that idea?
Well, because it's talking about, you know, you're extending... maybe I didn't see it in this paragraph, but it was in one of the something we had read in this.
Talking about sentence 3.
Yeah, without the limits that would hold the extension of the Holy Spirit's gifts, the peace that the Holy Spirit gives.
Yeah,
that's it. The peace, and it's, you know, that word is so key. Isn't that also a great thing about Course in Miracles? That's why we spend so much time on one paragraph. Every word is like in engineering, it's like a formula. The word extension in this paragraph is key to understanding what peace is. Mm-hmm. Peace is not a gift. Peace is not a separate thing that you get sometimes on, sometimes off. No, it's an extension of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn in this book, the Holy Spirit is actually your right mind. You're extending your right mind into the situation your ego is trying to dissect. Your right mind would combine. Your right mind would see the sameness that you share with the situation, that love shares with the situation.
So it says, for what he gives must be extended.
Yes.
And when it says must be extended, it's talking about extending it out into the world.
Yes, that's correct in that way. Yes.
Okay, so then if it's being extended out into the world, is that talking about sacrifice?
No, it's about peace.
About peace.
Or love.
It's extending peace. It's extending understanding or love. Mm-hmm. You can say that too. The same way. All same. That you would actually see that it's that peace and love are active in the world everywhere you look.
I see.
Even in the hatred. Even in the attack. Even in the murder. Mm. Even in the suicide.
Well, and something you just said reminded me of something I have found really profound, which is, you know, the true, I don't know how to frame it, but like things that you can give and they only produce more, that's like a hint of the truth. So if I am at peace in a situation that's really hard for my partner and I, it's like that peace is present, a part of that peace is present for both of us. Or if I am truly patient, it's like the patience grows, right? So there's some things that they just, you when you give like love, you don't have less, you have more. Well, like, not special love.
Yeah, I understand.
So, that thing, for me, that's what it's framing. Mm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, because we've said it a number of times, that we are extensions of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing when we listen to the Holy Spirit, in my mind, is keeping that extension going and going and going.
Mm-hmm. And you're not denying God. The ego denies the extension of God. And by the way, this book, all God is the truth, what is. He's not somebody up in heaven on a separate personality. No, God is just is, period. That's it. Whatever is, really is God.
Which is what you said.
What isn't is an illusion and ego.
What you said about what we need to be is present.
Yes.
Because if we're present, and then we're in the midst of presence.
Yes, and it turns out that time is another trick of the ego.
Yep.
It doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Only the you're going to live your whole life in the present. Right? You never actually the future never comes. You don't live in the you don't love in the future, and the past is a dream. You just have to make it up. No, right now is. You live right now. Yeah, turns out. That's where God is. That's where it is, where love is. Please love me tomorrow around 2 o'clock or so. Would you work that up? What kind of contract is that? Huh. Okay, now. For, okay, what he gives, and the Holy Spirit gives peace. Gives you opportunity for peace, for understanding even. What he gives, sentence 3, what he gives must be extended if you would have pieces, the limitless power of peace, limitless power of love, limitless power of understanding, limitless power of right-mindedness. And use this gift of peace for the Son of God's release. It is not this you would be rid of. And having it, you cannot limit it. In other words, this power of mind is nothing that you would ever do without. And then once you exercise your power to see oneness, the peace the patience that brings, the kindness that brings, the gentleness that brings, will make you fall back in love with yourself. And you'll have more of it. You would say, that's like me. Oh, I'm home again. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm choosing to be peaceful, gentle, trusting. I've never found myself to be so trusting before. I no longer need to defend myself. I actually want to be available and vulnerable. Completely opposite of the ego. And you fall in love with yourself. And people fall in love with you. 5. If peace is homeless, so are you, and so am I. Homeless. Because your truth is peace. Because you, as the extension of God, are the peace that you would choose. And same for the part of your mind that is still fully extending the Holy Spirit. And that's all Jesus is now. Jesus is this would-be human, a personality that now is completely representing the Holy Spirit. That's what wrote the book. And he who is our home is he who is our home is homeless with us. God, is this your wish? Would you forever be a wanderer in search of peace? Would you invest your hope of peace and happiness in what must fail? So all we're doing is waking up to the use of the drug that is the ego. And that's what we're going to be studying next week. Let's have a circle.
That's
intense.
Of course,
in there with beer.
Wait a minute,
I've
got through a lot.
As a result of you, I bought the whole
thing. Good, you were listening.
But I just listened to half of the first circle. It's like, circle.
Let's have a circle.
Oh, a big circle.
Let's have a circle.
Your hands wet.
Thank you.
Take not one step in the descent to hell with your choices, with your frustrations, with your thoughts of being unfairly treated, with your wishes that somebody would just change out there like they should have thought of before, and then you'll be happy. These are all steps into hell. Because if you do demand something outside you to change for your happiness, you're going to have to wait for the results, and then there'll be another step following it, down into darkness, where you will have to again judge. And they'll just continue.
It's the world of chaos and competition and contracts. It turns out that all this can be done in a undone in a single instant. Any time you lose your peace, you're only one thought away from relief. One thought. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Good job.
Thank you.
We're rocking Course in Miracles here.
Yeah. I know. I love the wake up call, and now I gotta sit with it. Like, honestly, I even have a great vacation. I'm going. I should be ecstatic and all this, and instead I need to.